This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We'll let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar. And they're located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. And they have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items that are unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at just $6. And enjoy their Sunday live jazz brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. And be sure to visit their website at BlueRestaurant.com. That's Blue-Restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue. And Brian, our guest was to be Mr. Danny Page, who works here at WGNS. And I think he had lunch with you today. Mm-hmm. And what happened to him?
I have no idea. Right now, he has fallen off the face of the earth, apparently.
What did you guys eat today? I just
a nice
left
salad.
Him.
You know,
a salad and that's all.
Yeah,
I wonder if Duty is calling us somehow. You know, this is very unusual. I mean, this is the first guest that we've ever had that we didn't have.
And he works here.
I mean, of course, he handles a lot of the business and things like that. And I can certainly understand that if something comes up at the last minute and
what
he
business?
Has to. I don't really know. And actually, we were at the parade yesterday, and everybody, of course, was representing WGNS, and Bart called me the night before, and of course, I was tickled to death with being with you guys, and I got to meet your family and your son and your daughter and your wife, and just as sweet as they can be.
Well, I offered to let you feed them for a while if you wanted.
I cannot afford to feed your son. Now, let me tell you something. He's 12 years old. He's taller than I am and probably broader than I am. I think you've got a ball player on your hand.
He's strong as an ox, too. But, you know, I don't know. Those bigger kids sometimes are a little not as coordinated. Mm-hmm. But
he looked pretty coordinated yesterday.
He works on that. Andy Herzer, who's on the show a lot and does a lot with First Shot Basketball here in Rutherford County, working with the underprivileged at Patterson Park, and does some camps and basketball things, basketball camps and leagues and things of that nature. He's been working with him some in basketball. So
is basketball going to be a sport?
He likes basketball. I don't know that he likes the football being physical in football, although he was asked by a coach at his middle school if he should think about coming out for basketball or for football.
I think he should. I believe. You know, he looks athletic, but he's big enough to be a tackle or a guard or something like that, especially in the middle school range.
Well, my wife's father was 6'7", and she has two brothers that are at least 6'6", one 6'9". So, so I guess that's where he gets the height, because, you know, nobody's over 6 foot on my side of the family.
Well, you know, one thing that I really enjoyed yesterday, and the Christmas parade brings out the best of everybody. And it was the biggest crowd that I have ever seen since I've been going to the Christmas parade. They were five and six deep all the way from, Middle Tennessee Boulevard all the way around the square. And, of course, the weather was absolutely gorgeous. It was around 50 or maybe a little bit more than that. But everywhere we went, everybody was hollering Merry Christmas and just enjoying the sight and being part of the spectacle, I guess. But this is the first time I've been in a long time. And you and Bart and myself, we walked the streets, and your family was there throwing candy out and everybody else. But, of course, Scott was driving. So he had the hard part. He had to keep the vehicle in the road.
He kept us running, what he did.
but yeah, you know, every once in a while, we were going just at a pretty good pace. The next thing you know, we're running sprints. So it was fun because we had to got a chance to interact with all the people that were there on the sidelines, and it was so much fun. And this is one of the times that you may see people that you only see one time a year. And the only negative about being in the parade is you don't get to see all of the rest of the parade. And I don't know how long it lasted, but I do know that when we got through, we went all the way back to where we parked our cars at MTSU, mm-hmm. and we had to wait forever before the last group went by. So it had to have been at least a couple of hours long.
If I remember correctly, I heard Leanne, that's Bart's wife, and she and Angie Walker, Scott's wife, actually coordinate the parade mm-hmm. along with many others, but they're the parade coordinators and have a lot of help from the Murfreesboro Noon Exchange Club, and they do a lot of the parking and kind of coordinate on site during the day. But I did hear her say there were, I want to say, 120 something entries, and that mm-hmm. doesn't include, you know, like the dignitaries, Mayor Ernest Burgess, and those type of mm-hmm. of entries. So that's a huge parade.
And it's amazing how much work goes into that, because I know we counted at least 9 or 10 fire engines. And then they had the police out there. And it's funny how people, they come together for something like this, because there's a lot of work that goes into putting those floats up and things like that. But I think every band in Rutherford County was there. I mean, for those that missed it, you really did miss one of the best parades we've ever had. I would champion it as good as they don't have as many different ones coming in like Macy's and some of those others. But to me, this is a lot more fun because it brings back memories. And a lot of us, there's a lot of buildings that used to be there many years ago when I was a kid that you get to see the parade. I mean, you had the James K. Polk Hotel and all the other neat places out there that people would always get there real early and find a seat. And I was told that some of the people got there as much as 2 or 3 hours early and brought their chairs just so that they could have a front row seat. And there's no way that, and I know WGNS furnished a lot of the candies and things like that we were able to throw to the children. There's no way that you could put enough in there to take care of all the kids, because we were talking about it when we left, and you remember I told you, I said, I just don't really believe that we've got enough to last us till we get to Highland Avenue.
Well, and we didn't. We barely got there with just a few pieces, just because we saved a few, because we didn't think we'd get to Highland. But the Christmas parade is always a fun time, and where kids come out and kids can enjoy, and families seem to kind of stop for the afternoon just for a few hours. And we don't do that very often in our society nowadays. And we actually took that opportunity to go over to your church after. Yesterday, and went over to the Bethlehem Marketplace, and I was just amazed at the number of people that were there as well. Thousands of people went through that the entire weekend, and saw Dr. Rolliter there.
Mm-hmm. Fred Rolliter.
He was handing out little cards at the end, and thanked us for coming and all. And he said that it just had been a whirlwind of a day. So that's really neat that we can do things like that here in our community and remember what Christmas is really all about.
I think they had something like 6,000 people, and it may have been more than that, but if you look at the activity that goes on around here that everybody's taking part in, you talk about the Bethlehem Marketplace with all of those, and there, Bart asked me 3 or 4 times how many did I think were actually lining the streets of East Main yesterday. And I was estimated somewhere around 40,000 people. But I heard this morning that some were estimating as high as 50,000 people. And you take that, and then you have the MTSU girls were playing basketball at the same time yesterday. Yeah. And you think, how in the world can we support all those activities at one time? But it's amazing. Every one of those groups were bringing large crowds out. But you can't worry about those type of things, because when you're planning something and you want to give something to the community, like the parade and like the Bethlehem Marketplace, you just have to go at it. And every one of those were successful. And it's just amazing to me.
You know what I found very neat at the Bethlehem Marketplace is to see, I kind of looked at the cars and the tags mm-hmm. from where these people were, and they had a lot of churches from different parts of the state and even outside of the state of Tennessee that had brought their church groups mm-hmm. there to actually go through the Bethlehem Marketplace. So, you know, that's one thing that I think may be lost on the community is they're bringing revenue in. Those people stop and get gas at our markets and, mm-hmm. you know, buy a drink before they head back on the road. And so that's the more that we can do like that also helps our economy too.
But, you know, the only tank that the church is worried about is the tank that holds the spirit in it.
Sure.
And that's the one thing that they work extremely hard at that. And you cannot go in there without getting the feeling that what Christmas is really all about. And as somebody who is coming in to see it, and I don't know how many times you've seen the Bethlehem Marketplace, when you go in, do you ever feel that there is a lull in what's going on? Because there's something going on all the time. When you go in, of course, you have the choirs that come in from not just the Southeast Baptist Church, but from other churches. Yeah. They bring in people to entertain those people that are coming in, the guests, to make sure that they have a sense of enjoyment the whole time they're there. How did you feel when you're going through, and what was the part that got you the most?
You know, what I thought was really very neat about the Bethlehem Marketplace was the fact that when you go in, everyone's in character, and they never break character. Mm-hmm. And it was just like it was back in the day, you know. And my kids, when we went before, they were really young. And my daughter's 9 and my son is 12. So they have a better understanding and a better appreciation for the Christmas story. But mm-hmm. it was brought to life. I mean, it's a real life nativity. And to be able to walk through and see all the people and see all the animals, that was a big hit with my daughter, of course. And I have to tell a funny story. When we were going through, one of the guards actually asked, my wife was in her wheelchair. She mm-hmm. has cerebral palsy, and we were pushing her through, and my son was. And the guy said to her, "What type of chariot do you have?"
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and it had wheels and mm-hmm. all this kind of thing. And he wanted to know what kind of donkey was pulling her chariot, and we just pointed to my son, you know, and he just got a big kick out of that and thought that was funny. But it was fun, but it was still back in the day, you know. Mm-hmm. And that takes it would be very easy to break out of character, I would think, because we're not accustomed to that. I mean, how do you jump into it? That's, you know, being able to put that face on, and these are church people that are doing it.
And the thing about it is, when people go through the line, they purposely try to get them out of character. They really do.
Yeah.
And I have seen that happen, and you can see the strain in the people from the Bethlehem Marketplace trying to stay in character when mm-hmm. they're talking about something that's going on in the 21st century, and they're 2,000 years ago, or yeah. supposed to be. And it's pretty interesting, but the people are so involved in what goes on Christmas, and they want to give that same spirit out that everybody else. They want everybody else to join in to how they feel,
mm-hmm.
and it's such an interesting thing about you know, it started many years ago. Don Edwards started, and what he felt like, that people were not recognizing Christmas for what it was supposed to be.
Sure.
Because we've become so much as far as the presents and the parties and all the other things that come with Christmas now, that it seems to be lost. And one of the things that's always aggravated me and aggravates a lot of people is that they don't even want Christmas to be the title anymore,
right?
Even though that's
holiday.
What it's all about. Yeah. It's all about money and parties and all the other things, but it's not. And you see people out there, Black Friday, they just absolutely just roar into the stores. They want to be there first. They want to get their special items. Why are we so driven to try to please people with things and stuff like that when Christmas would be so much more enjoyable? Do it like we used to when I was a kid. I mean, you get a present or two or something like that. But the biggest thing was being with the family, enjoying each other's company, and remembering what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. And when they put the little X where Christ is supposed to be. And I've seen there are even some communities now that they don't even mention Christmas anymore. And something is wrong when politically correctness or the sign of the times is able to override something as precious as remembering that Jesus Christ came here over 2,000 years ago and died for us, and something that has that deep of a meaning, and then all of a sudden it seems to be topped by all the other things that seem to go on and just want to dismiss it.
You know, all the other things have seem to have lined up ahead of what the true meaning is. Even even the Christmas tree, you know, the tree itself and the decorating and all that, some people, I mean, that's very lavish. Not saying that it's wrong, but when that takes precedent over what the true meaning of Christmas is, you know, that's you know, that should be secondary. All those other things are nice and the gifts are nice, and I understand that, but if you can't take time out with your family and friends and just enjoy the fellowship and what it's about, I find it hard to do that with all the hustle and bustle. You hear that word used a lot during the holidays, and there's a lot to that. I mean, with all the things going on in the community and work and all the different gifts you have to buy, and do you have this and that for this person, and we get sidetracked very easily, and, you know, not remembering what the season is all about, I don't know. It's just very difficult to put into words why we have gotten so far away from it. I guess because of history. I'm not sure. But, you know, church is almost like the last place you're going to be at Christmas, and it should be the first.
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that are traditional that go along with Christmas. And one of the things that I can remember as a kid that we would do is instead of going to a store and buying a Christmas tree, we would go out. We lived in the country, so we would go out and we would find a nice shaped cedar tree, and we would cut it and bring it in. And usually about 2 weeks before Christmas is when we would start putting it up. Yeah. And of course, you'd have to put it in water to keep it from drying out and getting all over the place. And it was neat because you would go usually with your mom and dad, especially your dad, because you'd have to take an axe with you and go out and cut the tree down and get it all set up. And everything was done as a family and as a community back then. So Christmas was a time that you would share all of the things that you really like about Christmas for the real meaning of Christmas, but also you would share each other's beliefs and the things that you really cared about and the stories. And one of the things that I'm growing up on Jake's Avenue is that you took a man's word as his word, and he would always show up when he was supposed to show up. And never, you know, we never would
didn't even have to shake hands or anything.
No, you knew that it was going to happen. And every once in a while, I'm thrown back. It doesn't happen. It's a rarity, but sometimes when I've got something set up and I know it's with a friend that I've known for most of my life, and it doesn't come across the way it should have, it's kind of stunning.
Well, I'm almost speechless at that. I don't know that anybody...
Who was this gentleman that just walked through the door?
I don't know. I hear something in the background, but...
It's a lot of rattling noise.
I just want to say before you make this move here, and I guess we could take our break here and then come back in the second half hour with that, but I appreciate you... speaking so kindly of my family and all. We did have a really good time, and
You have such a, you really do have a sweet family. You really do.
My son kept talking about Mr. Jones, Mr. Jones this, and I said, I have no idea. It took me the longest time to figure out who he was talking about, but it was you.
So, oh, really? Yeah. That's usually a term used for the elderly, right?
Well, I mean, I just think of you as Truman, but he was pretty impressed. I said, you do know what he did in his former line of work, but I told him maybe...
That wasn't very impressive, too.
No, he got a kick out of what you said, that I better take care of the punishment in the next couple of years, otherwise he's going to be too big for it.
And that's the truth. I mean, I'm going to be looking forward to watching him in his athletic career. But he's going to be successful. I mean, he is such a nice boy, and this is the first time I have had the opportunity to meet your family, and we're so lucky to have you here and your family, and you bring a lot of class to this place, and I really appreciate it.
I don't know about your next guest, but
no, we're going to take a step down in a few minutes, but we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle and Howerton Automotive at 2006 North Main Street in Shevaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call, 1-800-264-6800, toll-free, or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. And probably be better if you just take a ride down 231 South, just before you get into downtown Chevrolet, they're on your left. Go in, talk to the nice people there, and just spend an afternoon, and just look around, see what they've got. And they're not pushy. They'll enjoy your company, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be satisfied.
Get a magical deal on fixing your hail-damaged vehicle.
Dent Magic will give you a $100 Visa gift card for Christmas shopping for every repair. Don't wait months to get your car fixed. Dent Magic can get you in this week. Dent Magic will repair your vehicle in 2 days, and they will never drill a hole in your vehicle to access a dent.
They've got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, and will even pay your deductible. Some restrictions apply. Dent Magic, 1 mile west of Coles on Old Fort Parkway in the old fire station. Dent Magic, the industry leader in paintless dent repair.
Visit them on the web
at hailmagic.com.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Visiting with Polly Walls at the Omni Hut Restaurant. What's on the menu?
Traditional luau dinners, steak, seafood, chicken, shrimp Panamanian, which is a large Gulf Coast wild-caught shrimp, Tahitian tidbits only at the Omni Hut, from a pork brisket with our teriyaki sauce that we do.
Rediscover the Omni Hut.
Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan. Aloha!
Merry Christmas to you, and lots going on in the community. Middle Tennessee Medical Center's Mobile Health Screening Unit is over at the Greenhouse Ministries this Friday morning from 8 until noon. And if you take advantage of the free extensive lab work, be sure to fast 10 to 12 hours prior to your test. That's Friday morning at Greenhouse Ministries. Bring a lawn chair and a heavy blanket to the Murfreesboro Square Friday night at 6 for a free movie on the square, The Polar Bear Express. The Sunshine Players annual Christmas musical is Friday and Saturday night at 7 o'clock and a Sunday matinee at 2 at the Patterson Community Center. There's a Christmas dinner theater Friday and Saturday night at 6:30 and a Sunday luncheon matinee at 1 at the Arts Center of Cannon County. The hilarious comedy Nonsense. That's at the Arts Center of Cannon County in Woodbury. And in Uptown Murfreesboro at the Arts Center, it's the Nuncrackers. Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 with a 2 o'clock Sunday matinee. In Smyrna, it's the Christmas Carol at the Lamplighters Theater. 7:30 Friday and Saturday night and a Sunday afternoon matinee at 4:30. Those are Good Neighbor Events.
Weather-eye.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon, high in the upper 40s. Tonight, mainly cloudy, low near 40. Mostly cloudy on Tuesday, slightly warmer, high of 55. On WGNS, meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 45.
Smoked wings, barbecue, the redneck nachos, you know what I'm talking about. It's Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane. Stop on in. Each day, they've got great specials for you. Kirk and Burt Smokehouse Grill on Kaysen Lane here in Murfreesboro.
Hey,
knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're listed at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and it's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And what they do is they come in 24/7 into your home, and they'll take care of all the duties that you normally would be taking care of and can't anymore. And they will make sure that everything is done properly in your home and outside the home. They'll run errands for you, and anything you need, they'll take care of. And you can reach them at www.athomecaretennessee.com or by telephone 713-4639. And Melissa Warren started this business a few years ago to make sure that those people who were having to leave their homes would not have to do that anymore. And they can stay there and still enjoy the same quality of life that they've been used to. And we have a very special belated guest on today, Mr. Danny Page. And Danny, we grew up in the same area. I've known your family for more years than I can remember. In fact, I've known your family longer than you've been around. And Bobby and I...
That tells me you're a lot older than me then.
Bobby and your brother Bobby and I are the same age. I might be just a tad older than he is. In fact, I was telling some people yesterday that of the class of 59, and they all remember Bobby. I mean, he's always been just a sharp, uptown guy. But growing up on Jakes Avenue was really a special place to grow up. And I know that you still have fond memories of it. And right behind Mitchell's store down Jakes Avenue and all the places that we used to go and hunt and enjoy each other's company. But Christmas was a special time for us back then. It seems like the families were extremely close. We enjoyed those special events that would occur. And, you know, I can still remember almost every Christmas and what present I got for Christmas. But in your age, you're just a little bit younger than I am. You may have gotten a lot more than what we did. Christmas was not a big time for a lot of gifts at that time.
I remember we used to get like one. I did. I can't say what the other guys got because when I was little, I only remember what I got, you know, and that's... That's the bad thing about it, but I think Bobby was a class of 61, wasn't he?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think he flunked a couple of grades.
Well, he probably did.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that in because mm-hmm. you never know if he's listening or anything. And I thought I used to could keep up with that because Bobby, my oldest, graduated in – he's the oldest. He graduated in 61 and Wanda from 63 at Kittrell. Mm-hmm. And Wayne, I believe, was – Ronald was 65 and Wayne was 66. And I was like way on longer than that because they're a lot older than I am.
Oh, you guys were all over the place. And there weren't really too many big families back then. No. I mean, most of us had two or three siblings. And they had the Moreheads, of course. And then you had the Davenports and the Smiths. And it just went on and on. But can you remember on Saturday nights when we would all get together and the all the moms and dads would play Rook, and by then we had TV, and all the kids would lay there in front of the TV and watch Gunsmoke and all those other
I
things.
I can't say I remember those events, Truman. I must have been really, really small then, you know.
But we would, but most of the time we were outside. Right. We would play forever, hide and seek and all those
and
other
nobody
things.
Cared. Nobody, none of the parents worried about anybody because they knew where we were. It was ironic. We were talking a couple of weeks ago. We see each other just about three or four times a week now, but I can actually at this age and still remember, and I don't remember a lot of good things, but I can almost go all the way down that street and tell you who lived in which house. Now, I bet in this day and time there's not anybody that can do that on their whole street. Mm-mm. We knew everybody. The moms and whoever was watching knew where somebody was, and you didn't think about it till maybe 9 o'clock at night or something. And you know, is get your butt home or mm-hmm. something at that time.
That's right.
But, you know, it was never, ever concerned down there. And it's you'll never see that again. And that's the bad part, you know, about it. And it's fun to drive back out there. And every time I go out there, I'm sitting there trying to, you know, Harold's, Moorhead, Davenport, mm-hmm. Smith, you know.
Saw Howard Harrell at the parade yesterday. And went over and gave him a piece of candy. I was throwing it out, but I felt like I should go over there and hand him a piece. And he and Mildred are there's just very few left on that street that used to live there.
They're still there, though.
Yes.
Okay.
And went going back, and you were talking about that, when you go and ride up and down the street, those houses seem huge to me when I was a kid. And you go in now, and I don't know how in the world five of us lived in those houses, because of course back then you'd have to double up where you slept because there just wasn't room for everybody, and then sometimes you sleep on the couch.
Yeah, well, that's true. I don't know, and I don't remember. I remember where we stayed, and of course, you know, Ronald was in the service. He was gone, and Bobby was gone first, mm-hmm. and then Ronald was gone, and it was just me and Wanda. Wayne got married early, mm-hmm. and he was. And then Wanda, I guess she got married too, but it was just me there for a while. And then, you know, when you moved out of that situation, I did not want to go.
No.
Did not want to go, but ended up going to Central for 3 years. And but this the old Kettrell community, and I see a lot of those guys nowadays, and you always remember their face.
Oh, yeah.
Because at that time, you know, it's hard for people to believe that are younger, but you knew everybody in the whole school. And they knew you by your name,
mm-hmm.
and they still do. They still see you, and there's somebody out there listening right now that went to Kittrell that knows me from Kittrell, and that's the only thing they know me from. It was a fun environment out there.
And it's carrying on because our class stays together all the time. I mean, they're on the internet, and Marcia takes care of making sure that everybody knows what's going on. She called me the other night. I give her my schedule for the week, and she told me about one of our classmates that I hadn't heard from in years, and she said that he's back in this area, and it's so good to be able to do that. I know from time to time our class will get together and the guys will go out and eat somewhere, and just to keep up that friendship. But back then, and we're talking about in the 50s and even up into the 60s, when you went to school, they weren't just your classmates. They were part of your family. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we've gotten so far away from that, because I never will forget when I was over at the other office, I got a call from Hawaii one day.
Mm.
And it was your brother.
Couldn't imagine.
It was your brother, Bobby. And he said, "I am tired of living in Hawaii. I want to come home.
Oh.
And do you have anything open?" And of course, he was a great communicator, very bright. And so I said, "Well, if you come home, we got a place open for you." And sure enough, he came on home, and he was one of the main cogs over at the sheriff's office in the communications division. And it's just one of those things that you always feel comfortable with each other, no matter what stage of life you're in.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I wanted to make sure that I had my blue on today, and I knew you'd have that other color there on.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I saw some of your big buddies, Coach Hayes,
yeah.
Dean Hayes,
yeah.
Was at the Cooyer last Friday.
He's won a few championships.
Yeah, he's won quite a few championships.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Freeman, talking about people who went to school at Central, he was a year behind me. But that's the first time I've seen Jim, and I don't remember when. And he's been at the MTSU for years. And actually was down in Daytona, and we talked about him coming on the show because he's got a lot of great stories. And, of course, Coach Hayes, my goodness, I mean, he's a legend all the way across the United States.
Great man, too. Good guy. But it was an interesting life living over there on Jakes Avenue, and you know you never want to leave that atmosphere. But you know, and then going to Central for 3 years was scary.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I had two brothers that went to Bobby, I had three brothers that went to Central. I really didn't.
How come Wanda didn't?
She was a smart one of the bunch. Mm-hmm. No, of course, Wanda graduated in 1963. I think there was like 18 people in her graduating class, and one of the biggest stars in her class was Jimmy Montgomery.
That's right. He would have been in her same class,
yeah,
wouldn't he?
Yeah, he graduated the same year. Maybe it was 17. I might have given her too much credit on that. I think it was 17 or 18 in their graduating class, and I don't know. I think I heard there's 5 or 6 of them left, I think. But
do you guys still stay close together like all of us have in the 50s?
You talking about with
your class? Yeah, no, your class.
Oh, you know, I guess me getting away from Kittrell, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. And through social media now, there's some great sites out there. If you did go to Kittrell or even some of these other schools, I'm sure there's some social media sites. Connie Vance started one for Kittrell. I'm going to say she started it. I don't know that for sure. But you can go to Facebook on You Grew Up in the Kittrell Community. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, you will see hundreds of people there that you'll remember their name, especially if you went to school there. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing up all kinds of stuff. We remember the Jack Jarrett that taught science class. And people talk about things that happened in class, and everybody remembers things that
back you just then. Mentioned the name Jack Jarrett that a lot of people have forgot, but he was a legend in sports, a legendary coach here for many, many years.
Yeah. The only thing I remember about him is he taught science class and he loved tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always go in there and, Mr. Jarrett, can we go play some tennis today? And he would, it seems like 2 or 3 days a week, he let us go play tennis. And some of us developed skills and probably played a little better than others at that time. But, you know, it was fun. It was just a different atmosphere.
Yeah, it was. And everything was so laid back. And I still remember Roscoe Brown would take all the kids at least once a year. And he would take us to Center Hill, and we would go fishing, and it just about the whole community would go. I mean, there would be 50 or 60 of us, and we were all out there, and they'd make sure that we had boats for everybody, and everybody would go fishing, and I can still remember especially Arthur Young. We were fishing one day and at Rock Island, he caught a fish that would probably was around 7 or 8 pound largemouth bass, and somebody, after they got it in the boat, it had a big fish inside of it. They probably just swallowed maybe a pound and a half fish, and I still remember him being so aggravated. Of course, that made the fish weigh a whole lot less than what it would have inside that fish, but it's things like that. He made sure that everybody had a good time, and the whole community seemed to revolve around each individual, and one person was not any more important than the other, and you counted on those people. If you had something in your house that you needed and they were gone, you went over there, and if it was sugar or something you needed to cook with, then you would take it and you'd leave them a note or whatever, and you'd take care of that for them later. Just like you went into Mitchell's grocery, and if you didn't have money with you, you still would go out with the items that you went for, and then you'd pay them later. I mean, they had the little notations, or the little book that would tell how much that you owed for a month and something like that. Everything was built on trust. Mm-hmm. and caring about each other.
And I seems like I remember people didn't even, we never locked our doors.
No, never.
And people, you would come to maybe come see Bobby or whatever you mm-hmm. were doing, and you'd just come in the house, you know. And vice versa, people did that because it's not just me knowing everybody on that street. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew each other. And
right.
It all did. It's like you said, it all boiled down to trust, and there's not any places like that now that you can raise a family.
Well, you think now people, when they go to bed at night, and a lot of times even before they go to bed, they lock their doors.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure that everything's secured, and they've got their alarm sets in case somebody breaks in. Back then, you slept with the windows wide open. Mm-hmm. And it would be so easy to go in any of those windows without anybody knowing. But things didn't happen like
that.
Well,
we didn't have anything.
You didn't worry about
that. We didn't have anything for anybody to steal to amount to a lot either.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You know.
But you know, we didn't have boundaries either. I mean, you think about everything is confined into what you own and nobody's supposed to trespass on it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any. We walked all across everybody's yards. We went into the fields that people owned. We went swimming in the ponds. We went frog gigging in the ponds that we did not own.
Into Woodrow Medlock's
with
house.
With the Woodrow Medlock. Yeah.
And fish and swim both in his cement pond over there. Had him
well, now, not many people knew about that. But it was such a wonderful place to live, and we still have those friendships now. I mean, it's just like they're an extended part of our family. And how in the world is your mom doing?
Well, you know, we just had her 91st birthday.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and Wanda goes in there on Sunday and helps her, and my Bobby's wife, Lane, and we'll cook it slowed down some, but it used mm-hmm. to be every Sunday. And all of us are here now.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne lives out in Bellbuckle, and, you know, Ronald and Bobby live here, and Wanda does too. So we're all here, and, you know, we make an attempt to let all of us contact her, try to at least once a week, and some of us once a day, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's just kind of, you know, she's doing fine. She's living right out there where she always has on Fern, and she's still.
It seems like she's still about to be on Jake's Avenue, though.
Yeah.
Do you still remember the number on your house?
305.
Yeah, we were 313.
You know, yeah, absolutely. You said a while ago the houses, they look a lot different now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they I don't know, the big never really hit me, and you know, they looked a lot bigger, but. I couldn't even really recognize it because they had changed the color so much, and mm-hmm. I missed a couple of houses in there, and I said, well, I think that's the one we lived in. Then I had to look across the street because my grandmother lived catty-cornered across the street mm-hmm. there. Daddy owned that house. And we had the Insels right across the street from us, and I see the girls every once in a while, and I think you had Bud. Only Lynn was one of the Insels that
right.
worked for Bud forever.
Ran the store over
yeah,
there for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, he did. And, boy, we had some baseball games back in the back there.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's part Daddy owned back there, and he bought it just so we could play ball back there.
I know
there.
We used to ride our bikes down there. What was it called behind your house? What did they call that?
I don't know. Did they have a name for it?
I can't remember. Somebody call in knows what it is. Yeah, there was a name for it. But I remember, you know, it would fill up with water sometime on the end. But, you know, it's just, you just don't see places like that. And it's sad that people, you know, people, I can't believe you did that. Well, we did. You know, I'd get on my bicycle and ride 5-6 miles away from home. It wasn't a big deal. We'd be riding that Woodbury Highway. You got to remember mm-hmm. that was it back then, you know. There wasn't an I-24.
You remember when we had a real dislike for people who lived down the road? We would play baseball or football against them every once in a while. But it was just something that we could never get along with them. And it wasn't unusual for us to have a baseball or a basketball game with them. And we're talking about Loafer's Rest.
Yeah.
And end up with a fight after it was over with. I mean, we were extremely competitive with mm-hmm. each other. And it was just something about that era that when you lived at Jake's Avenue, there wasn't anybody else coming into that area to cause any problem. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know if you were, now you wouldn't have been old enough, but when Bobby and I were, and he may remember this, we were not supposed to go into Mr. Jake's field that had the pond back there because somebody had done something back there. I don't know what it was, but it was off limits for us.
Didn't stop you though, did
no we we actually went back there one day, and the reason we did, we could hear him on his tractor, so we could monitor where he was at any given time. So we actually crossed in there because we wanted to go get some frogs out of his pond. So while we were there, we heard the tractor stop. And there were about 7 or 8 of us. And we knew something was up. So we went back to get our bikes at the end of Jake's Avenue. And all of a sudden, here he comes running. Well, we didn't have time to jump on our bike. So we went running down Jake's Avenue as fast as we could go, running behind houses and everything else, trying to get away from him. And he kept us in sight until we got to Mrs. Davenport's house, Eva Mae Davenport in Sebring. So we ran in. She let us inside the house, and we all hid under beds and everything else, so anywhere we could.
That's a long run.
And this shows you how tight everything was back then. Ms. Davenport met him at the door, Mr. Jakes, and he said, I was chasing some boys, want to know if she's seen him, and she wanted to know why he was chasing. And I heard her say, well, you were a young boy once, weren't you? And somehow they worked it out that he would not be able to come in. But he waited on us to go get our bikes. And the thing about it is he was very nice to us. He told us that somebody had been over there shooting at his cows, and he just didn't want people back there because he was afraid that something would happen to some of his cattle back there. But he explained everything so nice. Nothing was done, and we really didn't mean any harm in it. We were just being kids.
Yeah.
And it was just, I never will forget her being able to stop him at the door.
Now, you didn't know who shot the cow, did you?
No. I don't have a clue about that. We couldn't afford to have a gun back then.
If it did, it was a BB gun.
But, you know, I can still remember with Christmas coming up, every present, well, I told you earlier, I can remember getting a Schwinn bicycle. And I remember it was so cold that day. But I rode that bicycle up and down the street all day and up into the night. It was just something special for me. And when you got something like that, it meant a whole lot more to you. I remember Mom got me a radio one time and apologized because we didn't have much money. And she said, I just want to let you know that I'm sorry this is all that we can afford this year. And, of course, you don't want to let your mom down. So I said, Mama, you know, that's exactly what I wanted. That's the present I wanted this year. And that's what you did.
Yeah. And we, you know, remember your mom and dad, and your dad was always, he wasn't the scariest man on the road to me. There, mm-hmm. Mr. Clancy probably fell in that category. But he had,
Woodrow Clancy.
Demanded stature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a stature about him. Mr. Jones was, you know, he better be nice. And of course, we were nice to everybody. But of course, my dad, he cut up with all the boys. Mm-hmm. I know he did.
He did.
I remember him shooting a shotgun one night when I was just a little. I think there was a kid by the name of Mr. Hudson. B.B. Hudson had hit in one of our big elm trees out there, and Daddy knew he was out there, and he was trying to scare somebody. I don't know who he was going to try to scare, and Daddy went out there and shot up in the air, and he said he hit that ground running. But, you know, there's some stories out there that I know that you and Bobby got a bunch of them, that, you know, Ronald and Wayne getting in fights, and I mean, Mr. Rakes, or Mr. Raitt, I believe, next door, his wife, I don't remember what they called her, Miss Raitt, but she came over and told Mama that Ronald and Wayne was killing each other. And Mama said, oh, one of them will come out, they'll tell me what's going on, or something like that. But,
well, you remember the real weapon back when we were kids were cherry bombs.
Mm-hmm.
They're illegal now, I think.
Yeah.
But back then, we used them loosely. I mean, we used them for fishing and everything else.
Well, and you know what? I was a little boy, and I knew y'all did that, okay? And I knew what there was, so I got a hold. Me and some of the other kids around, it might have been Stuart Holloman or somebody, I can't remember. We got into some of those. We might have got them from some of the older kids. Mm-hmm. But we went down to Jake's Pond, and we were throwing them in. You know, they had a bunch of little goldfish in that pond. And we threw about four or five in that pond. And when it would hit that water, it would just blow up.
Just like small dynamite.
We thought that was just pretty, man.
Yeah.
We went back the next day, and there's little goldfish all the way dead around the pond. And, of course, we didn't know nothing about that back then. I really didn't even know it would kill them. I was probably 6-7 years old. But I did. And, you know, it was just something that we did, and you laugh about it now. But, you know, we'd go fishing in there for them goldfish, and there was a bunch of them in that pond, that's for sure.
And we want to take a break and let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb's can you get oil changes and tires for the life of that vehicle for free. Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative skilled nursing and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
You are listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with us with Mr. Danny Page, who has been with us for a half of an hour. And one of the things I remember, and we weren't really mean, but sometimes you probably had the wrong weapons in the hands of kids. One Christmas, one of the kids got a beautiful two-gun holster set. I mean, it was, he was bragging all over the neighborhood of how good it was. So Bud Mitchell and I were sitting there listening to him, and we asked him to draw his pistols out. And it was just something about that holster set that just didn't really sit right with us. And we slipped in a firecracker, a little bit larger than a firecracker, in each one of his holsters when he pulled his guns out. And I have never seen anything explode like those two-gun holster sets. I mean, they were gone. And you talking about getting a whipping over something.
I bet you did.
That we really didn't really mean anything bad about it. It's just one of those things that just happens to occur.
Yeah. Well, I never heard that story till just then, but that was I know we got there some good ones, and I wish you could talk my brother into getting on here. Y'all could probably have a blast one day.
Does he know anything besides golf anymore?
Well, you know, no, I guess not. I don't know. He can tell you all about it. You know, he's a good golfer. He really is. Unless he plays with me and I bring out the worst in him.
Now, what are you guys going to do for Christmas?
I believe we actually are going to Ronnie's house. We're going to have the whole family over there. Mm-hmm. He's probably got the biggest area we can all get in. And, you know, it's not an ordinary Christmas. See, we got grandkids and great-grandkids, and there might be a great-great in there somewhere mm-hmm. that's coming. And, you know, there might be 30, 40 people in there.
Mm.
But, you know, that's what happens when your whole family lives close and you know, and we've all got kids and they've got kids and some of their kids have kids. So that's what we'll be doing for Christmas Eve. And we'd always do that. And then Christmas Day, everybody goes their separate ways. But, you know, it's...
Is Mrs. Power still with us? I know she was up close to 100 years old last time.
I don't think
I heard.
So, but that would be a question for Bobby, I'm sure.
Of course, all of them are related to Wash Powers, who was the sheriff and chief of police many, many years ago, and mm-hmm. there's a ton of them. Mm-hmm. But do you remember, and we used to go swimming, the whole neighborhood would go swimming over there where Guy James's farm was, and such a great place to go. And I never will forget, one time we went, everybody got sick right after we had been over there. And what had happened is we had somehow contracted polio. And two of them actually had a hard time with it, the Bensons.
Never heard
of
that.
You remember the Bensons. But back then, during that particular time of year, when was the time that polio would strike, and they actually closed down the state fair at least one year and maybe more than that because they were afraid that it would just blow up and just go rampant across everything. But it was such a joy to go out and do those picnics and swim and jump off of the bridges and all those great things that we used to do that seem to be just completely lost or foreign to everybody, because everybody's got everybody's upgraded to color TV, I reckon.
I do remember when the first color TV came out, though. That was,
oh yeah,
it was, seemed like, you remember there was a screen that they mm-hmm. actually put in front of the TV.
No, not mine.
Well, that's the way it seemed like ours had an actual screen mm-hmm. that you actually put on the TV, the first one that we got.
I remember the first show I ever saw, American Sportsman.
I'm going to say it was Ed Sullivan.
No. I'm not sure. I'm sure they had color TV when Ed Sullivan was on, did they?
Well, all I remember is when the first one we got was, and my mother always said that it was, they got it the year I was born in 1954. It was the year they got the first one, and she'd always said that. And I said, when was you just waiting on me to? There was, what, 6-7 years in between me and Wayne, mm-hmm. or Wayne and I should say. And that was, I don't, afterthought, whatever you want to call that. But there was a big difference, and everybody mm-hmm. was crying. I was the, a runt.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
You're not the runt anymore.
No, that was Mama's biggest pleasure was seeing me get big enough where I could whip them all.
Now, what in the world made you get into radio and advertisement?
I don't know how much time we got, but when I graduated high school, I actually got accepted to a school in Panama City, Florida. That's where I was going to go. I wanted to be Monty
Hale.
Great
town. Ooh.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a broadcaster. And life happens.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing you know, I met a lady. And next thing you know, a year or so later, I got married.
Oh.
And that didn't happen. Before I knew it then, I was going to Firestone and got mm-hmm. a job. I figured I'd work there a year or two. And I worked there 30 years.
Oh, my.
And retired there the 30 years to the day. And just ironically, when I did retire, I was got in the insurance business again, as my dad did. We all tried it. All the guys,
I remember when
tried
he sold it, insurance.
All of us yeah. tried it at once. And I'm mm-hmm. still in the insurance business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a nationwide insurance agent. But I got in that, and this position came open here at WGNS, and I think they were kind of looking for somebody to help out with the Middle Tennessee account, MTSU, and I guess, I used to think I'd run for mayor here, but now that I've seen all you politicians have so much problems here, I don't want to do that anymore.
Good move.
I know. But, at one time we knew everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew everybody, and, you walk into a restaurant and you would see, if you saw 15 people in there, 7 of them knew who you were.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen anymore. And it's just the whole thing is different, so.
You've seen a lot of changes at MTSU in the sports department.
I have.
You think that MTSU is on the verge of becoming one of the main players in all major sports in this country?
Well, I hope I get to see that in my lifetime. There's a lot of different things that are happening there. I know they just got $1 million grant a couple of days ago. It was announced from
mm-hmm.
Jeff Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to renovate the club level. They're going to enclose it in. I saw the forms on it. It's very nice. It looks great. They're building, I think their next venture that they're going to do is they're building an indoor football mm-hmm. facility. Which
that's
will be
where that money is going to go to, right?
Well, no, the indoor football facility is actually the first thing they would plan to do before this.
Mm-hmm.
This has came with the Hendricks donation, but mm-hmm. the indoor facility, it's all about money. They have to continue to do it. They're the largest undergraduate school in the state of Tennessee, and I don't see them slowing down to ever drop down. But, I live here. I've always supported them, even though I didn't go to school there, and always will. You can see it by my office. All you got to do is walk by.
Everything is Middle Tennessee. And, of course, that's the way it should be. And I'm amazed at the facilities that they've got all the way across the line. I mean, their baseball facility is second to none. And, of course, we have been blessed to have some of the best coaches and the best leaders at MTSU here in the last 30 or 40 years. And you have been able to work with each and every one of them, and I know that that's been it's really been more fun than it has been a job.
Oh, absolutely. It is fun to work with them, and You know, I'm going to be there, and I still buy tickets there, even though sometimes I don't have to, being in the media. But, you know, I buy tickets for everything I go to, and always have and always will, just because I just feel that's what I need to do. And, you know, I can get in with a media pass, but I don't do that. I do my best to support them, both by going to games and financially on a yearly basis.
And I hear you on the radio a lot of times, pregame.
Yep.
When you're talking.
Mr. Kelly Holcomb and I do the pregame show.
How is Kelly? I mean, being a pro quarterback and one of the – and I really thought that he was one of the better quarterbacks when he was up there. He should have been a starter all the time as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he pretty much was.
Yeah.
He did. He weighed 135 pounds. This is a story he told. I knew he was small when he come out of Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. First play in a scrimmage game on the first day he practiced, he got knocked out. Mm. Knocked totally out. And They drug him off the field. Mm. And after that, he's a good guy. He come back, he gives back to the community. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want him to do.
Yeah. And when you got a community like Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, it's not a place you want to leave. And thanks for coming today, Danny. Appreciate you being
Even
on
if
time
I was
today.
Late.
And I really appreciate Brian sitting in for you. I know that you had a lot of things that you had to do, and we understand that, don't we, Brian?
I'm sorry you had to do that second class citizen thing with him.
Who was on first? That's all I got to say. Who was on
He was on first.
Who's on second?
Yeah, who was on first?
What's I was on first. He was on second.
And tomorrow, of course, we have Greg Tucker is going to be on. And Maestro Joseph Lee called me the other night, and he's going to be on with us for a time, too. So we look forward to everybody being here with us tomorrow at 2:00.